Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
That was fun. I'm done. Episode 57, beatboxing it in.
Yeah.
Why not?
We beatboxed it in, that's for sure.
Oh, we did beat in your box. So for those of you not in the know, which would be everybody but Scott and I,
yeah.
We spent some time today. We just basically rebuild your computer entirely. New hardware,
yeah.
New OS install, brand new, I guess, 12 after the tax of parity. And that's a drive manufacturer, 12 terabytes
right.
of
storage,
which is actually 10 because drive manufacturers are dicks.
Yeah.
So, good stuff, though. It's really quick. We got it in just under the wire, as I think we were...
7:45, I believe, was the...
Yeah, we were still working on it at 7:40. And we're not done yet. We're just at the bare minimum needed to do the podcast.
Yes, so. and not drain your bandwidth while I'm downloading all of the Adobe Suite or
right, exactly, exactly, which would screw us over for the people at home. And
we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that at all. So... We've got
no views of you.
No, there are plenty of people on. We've got.
Oh no, I know.
Let's romper room this. Let's romper room this.
Okay.
I see Laura and Aaron. I see Paula and
Michael
and Seth, and that's it. That's all I see.
Okay. I see some jackhole called Two Bards Production.
Screw that guy.
Yeah.
So, we Seth, of course, going with the we introed our Bardcast today. With a Star Wars reference, Bard leader standing by. And immediately the people watching picked it up and started with, you know, Red 6 standing by, Red 2, and whatnot. And of course Seth pipes in with the Blue Harvest joke of Red October standing by. There's also simply Red Fox, you know. The Blue Harvest is of course the code name for A New Hope.
Yes.
But it was also the name of the Family Guy spoof of A New Hope.
Of A New Hope.
Yep.
I was going to go with Yellow Leader, just because I like the Y-wings.
Why?
Because they're wings.
Okay, gotcha.
Not those wings.
What about the A-wing? Nobody, no, there's not enough respect for the A-wing.
The A-wing's okay. It's just...
It's the smart car of...
It is.
Of Rebel... Where do they even manufacture these?
I don't know.
Does this happen under the Empire's nose? Like, I would expect them... Like, they're Rebels, right? So I would expect them to have, you know, like, Chop Shop TIE Fighters.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Not their own complete brand of... You know, it's like some kind of Cuban... Cadillac or something, like, you know, completely...
It's a Mexican VW bug.
Well, no, that's a real thing.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Speaking of empires making vehicles. Oh.
Yeah, the Y-Wing is sort of the SUV of the fighters.
Yes.
Just seems clunkier. The X-Wing is, I mean, if I was going to fly one, I want to fly the X-Wing.
Well, what about the TIE Bomber? Talking about, like, clunky.
Oh, yeah.
Though they seem to have... fairly decent maneuverability.
Is that the double pod one?
I think it's the double pod one, yeah. But and like Vader was somewhere in between the two.
Yeah.
He was in like
the 7 foot
yeah.
tall bubble.
It's like, yo dog, we heard you like TIE Fighter, so we put a TIE Fighter in your TIE Fighter. Kind of shit. Pimp my TIE.
Pimp my TIE. What's it stand for? Twin Ion Engine.
It does. And the sound is actually the bastardized roar of an elephant and a lion, I think.
You know what the sound of the bullets are? The laser beams?
The pew-pews?
Mm-hmm.
What's the sound of the pew-pews? I know this. I think I know this. It's like a bar being struck against something.
Tension wires.
Tension wires, that's it.
On electrical powers. Yep. Went out and got that, and you can get that
sound. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to electrocute ourselves making a fan film. That's going to be fun.
That's when you get the... and then the smell of smoke.
Han shit first.
Yes, he did.
His pants.
Can't seem to get comfortable today.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, we had quite a little adventure today. Went to everyone's favorite place, Fry's Electronics.
Man, what a difference 6 months can make.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while either, and they are gutted.
Yeah.
There's, like, nothing on the shelves. I mean, there's that same feeling of...
Despair.
Despair, yeah. That's there. The help, air quotes, is just terrible, as usual.
Do you have these? They're similar at aisle 3A.
Yeah, it looks like a flea market, some kind of like cyberpunk flea market now.
Yeah,
it was just...
But they had plenty of Bear Griswold or whatever his name is on the Discovery Channel, the survival knives.
Oh, right. Bear Grylls,
yeah. Yeah. They had a fuck ton of survival knives and survival gear and security gear, but... Wasn't a raid card to save our life.
Nope, no raid controller. Well, there was one raid controller, air quotes, and it was essentially just a SATA card. It was just software raid, I'm guessing, a SIG SATA card. Yeah, and I don't like SIG. Not a fan.
No, I've had them since the 90s.
Yeah, they're controllers. You never know who manufactured it. So,
but we made it work because SIG. Andy's got kidneys. Between his ears.
Sig Sputnik? No?
No.
I've got kidneys between my ears.
That's a joke that goes way back.
Sweetbread?
I can't remember what it's...
I have no idea.
Devin and Kali would always talk about, that's using your kidneys. And it's a reference to...
No idea.
Is it the Peter Jackson horror film?
Oh, the Dead Alive?
Yeah.
Or Brain Dead if you're... From Down Under?
I can't remember. But there was a reference to it being, you know, that's using your kidneys.
Gotcha.
So, but no, I'm really happy. We got everything plugged in the right way, and it's just fast as grease through a duck.
Which, I don't know why you keep feeding grease to ducks. You're a terrible human being.
I am.
You are awful.
But they like it.
No.
They do.
Ducks have the longest penises compared to body size.
Barbed as well.
Corkscrewed, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Lions are barbed.
But the female duck's vagina is also corkscrewed.
There you go. So when people say, fuck a duck, that is not exactly an easy prospect at all.
No, not easy. It's painful. And if you're in Australia and you try to fuck a North American duck... The corkscrews go in opposite directions.
Because of the Coriolis effect? Yeah. Right, yeah. That's been disproven.
Oh, has it?
No, it's just because it's probably made of spiders if it's from Australia.
Oh, that's true.
To be honest. Everything in Australia. I mean, it's the only continent where you can build a full house out of spider carcasses.
Mm.
In fact, I think there's a government subsidy for that. Not anymore. I don't know if you've been following the Australian political... shenanigans.
You know, I have been out for a couple of days. Please fill me in.
Some austerity going on.
Some austerity.
Yeah, they're tightening the belt.
Ah.
And essentially saying fuck you. They're I assume trying to get in America's good graces because they're saying fuck you to the poor. Big old middle finger.
Oh, I thought they were just trying not to turn into grease.
That you would feed to ducks with their corkscrewed penises?
No. Greece, the country.
Oh, does that? How fast does that travel through a duck? Opa.
Depends. Oh. Is there some ouzo with it? Pretty fast.
Yeah, a little bit of ouzo. this kind of went off the rails.
It did. Hey, we have people making comments.
We do. But
I can't read them.
No, it's a very small screen.
I know. Why can't we have a bigger screen?
Why can't
we have nice things? Sorry.
Austerity? Let's go with that. Corkscrewed penises?
Because Australia said, fuck you.
Yeah. Mm. So let's see what we do have going on here. We've got a lot of talk about TIE fighters and A-wings and X-wings. I'm just going to leave it.
Okay, yeah.
Paula Moran says there's a Fry's in Indianapolis. Sorry. And I think Fry's, I want to say, is now also... Is it Overstock.com and Fry's are like together, I think?
No.
Overstock.com, you'll remember, got in the good graces of so many hippies by making a commercial where they shot gerbils into a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... All right. There's a Fry's in Atlanta. Everyone's just talking about Fry's now. Fry's.
Yeah. I wish you had some French fries. Or some freedom fries.
Oh, man.
That was a flash in the pan, wasn't it?
Freedom fries?
We're not going to call them French fries anymore. They're fries.
That, all we all knew that
3 months later.
We knew that wasn't going to happen.
No.
That's just not going to happen.
Everything on the desk glows now. I'm happy.
I know. That's true. Scott also upgraded. So Scott now has two monitors and has upgraded to a Razer keyboard, which is a gaming keyboard with illuminated keys. So his desk is Christmas.
So I can see at night when I'm in here working.
Working, in air quotes.
Oh, no. I do most of my web stuff at night.
Okay.
Web stuff.
Greasing the corkscrew. Right, gotcha.
Slinging the spidey web.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is...
Quick, any questions there? Should I go to the...
Let's talk about Godzilla.
Did
we talk about Godzilla yet? I don't think
no,
we did.
No, because neither of us had seen it at the time.
It was... I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
So, I left the podcast last Sunday. This is a work night. Or, I mean, you know, it was like a night before I have to go to work.
Right.
So, it didn't matter. Went to an 11 o'clock show. Totally worth it.
At the fancy adult restaurant.
At the fancy adult theater, yes. Yes, where they're all pretty like my mom. No.
No,
at the IPIC theater, because I hate people. And IPIC, yes. You get to be a total elitist. You get to sit in special chairs above everyone else. You get to order food. They bring you drinks. They massage. They don't massage you, but they do all of the rest of the stuff I just said. The seats recline. They give you a blanket and a little pillow.
I need to go to this place.
It is great. It is
What's
great.
The other one in Belgium?
There's also
that
no
talks
children
about.
Allowed.
Oh, well, yeah. That's
Cinnabar?
The best.
Is that the
yes,
one? Yeah, the Cinnabar is the other one, yeah. Though, hopefully soon, one of us will have gone to the Alamo Draft House. And I'm really wanting to go myself, but there's no con that gets me to the Alamo Draft House, which is the only theater that I actually, like, I would make a flight to go catch a movie there.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. Anyway, so went to the theater... again, like I pay because I hate people. I pay extra money because I don't want to sit with the likes of them. So the cost of entry does keep out the chaff,
the lesser.
God, this is just terrible. I feel horrible. But also, I really like watching movies in quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Harsh cell phone rules, things like that. So it's great.
Excuse me, people.
Sat down, watched the previews. They were all good. I don't remember any off the top of my head. But they were... I remember I liked them. Kind of.
Yeah.
There's a new comedy that I want to see.
Oh, Guardians of the... Whatchamacallit.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy. But yeah. I didn't get to see that preview. They didn't have that one.
Oh.
But I saw it online the day before. So. No, this was... I'm not going to dwell on it because I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Okay.
But... Very, very pleased with everything in Godzilla. I don't want to do any spoilers. Tough to talk about Godzilla without spoilers.
Right.
They made a choice at the end of the first act that I really respect. A lot of people were bitching about the choice they made at the end of the first act. You couldn't have done it without that. Without.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It had to be done.
Right.
It had to be done.
The only thing... And Brophy and I went to go see it at Cinerama.
Also a good choice.
On Tuesday. Got my chocolate popcorn fix, which was awesome. And I'll just tell you this. If you go anywhere with Tom that he's excited about going to, you're going to want to pay extra. Because you know, him at the Super Bowl party.
Right.
Very loud.
Right.
Which is great. He's enthusiastic. Yeah, he was very enthusiastic on his second viewing of Godzilla. And it was great because we were sitting next to each other and he's just shouting at the screen. I'm just like, okay, I don't know him. I don't know. And then some little kid at the very back of the auditorium when we were watching was, yay! And the whole place just lost it. But the one thing that I had a hard time with, really the only thing that I had a hard time with, mm-hmm. was the time. It seemed... I don't know how much time it took, but the amount of distance they seem to have traveled in what appears to have been a day...
Oh, is ridiculous, yeah.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Because there's... boats don't travel that fast. Everything else, yeah. I don't care about. It's a movie, I'll look past it. But the rest of it, I thought, were just great choices getting back to what Godzilla is.
Well, they had the negative drag behind Godzilla, so they were... They were riding the trough.
True.
I'm retconning this. I don't care. I agree to some extent, though I can still suspend disbelief for that. What I can't suspend disbelief for is that a 45-year-old man had a father who died in Hiroshima. That's BS. So that they should have just said grandfather's watch would have fixed all of it.
Oh, yeah.
But... so there's a watch scene. I'm not really ruining anything on this, but there's a watch scene. The character in the scene says that it was his father's watch, and it stopped due to Hiroshima. Well, that doesn't make any sense because that would make the guy. I mean, he would have had to. It's his grandfather at best.
Yeah,
they didn't think that one through.
Oh, and the casting of Kick-Ass was not Kick-Ass.
Was the main character Kick-Ass? Didn't even know. Did not even know.
Did you watch Kick-Ass 2?
Did not.
That's why you didn't know.
Okay.
And
that's the one with Jim Carrey and
yeah,
such.
Which, Jim Carrey in that,
mm-hmm.
phenomenal. But I'll tell you, the Kick-Ass kid is about as emotionful as a painted door.
Nice. He and Kristen Stewart really need to make a movie. Yeah. No, I didn't know that was him at all. I do feel he got too much screen time. I feel that it was a little too his story, maybe.
Yeah, and for not emoting at all.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he could have had his balls hammered on with a sledgehammer or won the lottery, and you would not have known which was happening.
Which is really the same thing, ultimately.
Well, true after taxes.
And keep in mind, this is all nitpicky. Totally love the movie. Mm-hmm. This is just little nitpicky because I love it. So now I'm going to poke holes in it.
Yeah. No, it was as Tom
like
said.
Like a Catholic loves a condom.
It totally got the... Great, can't believe I'm going here after that comment. It totally takes the taste out of your mouth of the last Godzilla movie.
The last one wasn't a Godzilla movie or a Gojira movie.
No.
The last one was Matthew Broderick versus the Lizard. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah.
It was terrible bad. Though, did you see... So there are a lot of little tiny, just tasty, like, references in that movie all over the place. There's one very obvious one, which I won't bring up here because you'll see it and it's awesome when you see it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Then there are a few more. When young Kick-Ass, which is now his name, goes to the window in his school,
right?
There's a skeleton on the windowsill, and it is the 1997 or 8, whichever it is, Godzilla. It's the dinosaur on which the thing was made.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Except for it's not. There are references to, Ghidorah. There's a quick reference to Ghidorah that I don't know anyone else who got, but I'm like totally nerding out over it, so it was cool. See if you can find it. There was a reference to, I want to say, Mechagodzilla at the very beginning when he runs past the door frame. There's a poster on the wall.
Oh.
So I think it was a toy or something, but it totally looks like a Mechagodzilla. So there were a lot of little like references. Yeah. The song at the end is very reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
There were some little people. That's not true.
No.
But overall, it was very enjoyable.
No high-pitched singing, which was nice.
A little. No, there was no high-pitched singing. No. Which was nice. Very nice. So, enjoyed it. Totally.
Yeah, I did too.
Would awesome. Would see again. 8 out of 10 recommended.
Mm.
For sure.
Yes. What else did you do this week?
Well, funny you should ask. In that it's not funny at all. Oh. What did I do this week? Color graded. Oh, that's kind of a big deal. So we did a little release thing for a trailer for a little film called Dark Dungeons.
What?
I know, right?
Wow.
And Wired wrote it up.
I saw, and a couple other places.
Well, Wired started it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wired had it for an exclusivity, like 5 hours or something exclusive. Mm-hmm. And then it, like IO9 grabbed it.
Reddit?
Comics Alliance. Yeah, Reddit grabbed it. But Reddit just grabs things. That's what Reddit does.
I know, but we've never had anything else on Reddit.
We have nothing with more than like 10 upvotes.
Yeah.
So this was kind of new in that regard. But the... Oh, it is fascinating to watch. The comments are... This is the one time I will tell you, read the comments. Read the comments. You know who we are. You know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe after you're done reading a little Edgar Allan or watching Teletubbies, my favorite's the yellow one, or listening to a certain 90s band, maybe after all that, read the comments, because there are people who really don't know who we are.
Yes.
Very obviously. And it's quite a fun little romp.
Now, is that at the Wired location, or is that...
YouTube, Wired, IO9, they all have great comments.
Okay.
All of them. IO9 has one of the longest comment threads.
Okay.
And it's ridiculously long, and it's full of really actually cool dialogue, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the YouTube ones... But YouTube is the bottom of the barrel for comments in general, and overall, they're still kind of interesting.
Hmm. Excellent.
It's been a lot of fun. Last I checked, we were at 207,000 views, which is creeping up on the other highest rated Zombie Orpheus video, which would be Journey Quest Season 1, Episode 1 at 250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm pretty sure it's going to surpass it within the next couple of days.
Yeah.
So, very cool stuff.
Yes.
Following Twitter, like watching a bunch of stuff, we actually had an interesting conversation with... a Twitter account called Take That Darwin, which was kind of fun. Popat has been retweeting quite a bit of stuff. Popat's actually kind of a big Twitter account / website, so that was fun too. It's been crazy to see something just kind of catch fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I have a grading surface at my house. Like I had so much real estate on my desk as was.
Now, for cheese?
Yes, for cheese, a surface on which...
A grating surface?
You grate cheese. A grating surface, like a surface that makes a high-pitched whine, talks about being really hot all the time. Just grating. No, a grading.
Grading.
A color grading surface.
Ah.
It looks like...
With knobbies and...
Yeah, yeah. It looks like if Skrillex made a trackball. So
I like it already.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Thank you, Fred Beam, if you're listening. You're not, but if you are, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for being in Spokane and allowing us
to use exactly. Oh man, good stuff. I think that was about it. I already talked about the chickens getting out. I already talked about
chickens getting out and getting back in.
And getting back in. Yeah, re-chickening. The re-in-chickening.
Yes.
Yeah, everything else was just work, man. It was... it was cray.
Let's see, Monday shot on... I think I've got my dates right. Shot on Worst Laid Plans.
Okay, excellent.
Which was a lot of fun. Got to get all extra tatted up. And Sam Graydon
was
shooting.
That guy.
He also shot Dark Dungeons.
Dark Dungeons, correct.
So I'm feeling in very good hands with him. And that's the first, this was the first time I'd really worked with him. I mean, we'd been in circles, but he's a really fun guy to work with. And that was a fun day. I'm glad that I was on set because I found out two very poopy pieces of information. I did not achieve my callback success for Z Nation.
Aww.
So I will not be that character, but maybe I will be other characters.
Who knows? Okay, all right.
And then the lovely time that I had at the auditions for Depth. I'm glad that I had lovely times because I will not be in that as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
Someone has said that there are still parts to be cast, but I'm pretty sure that that is far gone.
Right.
And that's okay. Because then Wednesday I had a meeting with some people who are going to be shooting a little film called Yuval. I will let you all go look that up. U-V-A-L-L.
Okay.
And I was offered the part outright.
Nice. Very cool.
To the point that the producer had already made the poster for the live reading.
With your name on it?
With my face on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was really awesome. I had a good meeting. Really excited. Some really cool people, including, for those in the area who know, Pat Cashman.
I do know Pat Cashman.
Is signed on.
Obviously most famous for the Taco Time commercials.
Yes.
Nothing else. Guy's never done anything else.
No. Almost Live. And 206.
That's where I was going with the just go on, Scott. Just go on.
Sorry.
You suck at this.
I do. And then I went to go see Lucky Them.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, which is a lovely Megan Griffith movie.
Yes.
I got to see the three parts that I auditioned for done by other people. Aww. Which was awesome.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
And one of them being Tony Dupe, someone who I look up to and admire a great deal. Mm-hmm. And he was way better at the detective than I was. They went with some younger kid for the tweaker method guy taking money.
Okay.
And I would have beat the pants off the bouncer, but...
Nah, that's what are you gonna do?
But the cool thing was, it was sold out. It was standing room only at the Egyptian Theater.
That's awesome.
And I sent a little Facebook message to my good friend Megan Griffith, who directed the film, and said, "Hey, in case you happen to have any extra tickets, I got two comps from the director handed to me outside of the theater."
Nice.
And Connor Marks has a lovely scene in this with Toni Collette. And it is amazing.
All of Connor Marks' scenes are lovely.
But it is so nice to see him up there on this huge screen in a sold-out theater and just being non-crazy, totally grounded Connor.
Nice.
It was awesome.
I'm very excited because next podcast, well, we need to talk about that, but I will have by next Sunday, regardless of what the podcast situation is, have played a game night of Mario Kart 8 with Connor Marks, Jesse Keeter, Aaron Rodgers. You really, Scott? You're not available Saturday night already. You weren't available to help me move. Oh, now suddenly you're available for Mario Kart? Yeah, I see. That's why I asked.
Wasn't able to help you move?
No, you did help me move.
Okay, I was going to say, you took all the cardboard downstairs.
Oh, dude, we're still taking cardboard downstairs.
Oh, I can imagine.
it was terrible. But, yeah, we're going to be playing Mario Kart 8, hopefully to the wee hours.
Now, Mario Kart 8 is the one that's on the Wii U? The
Wii U.
Okay.
We you, we me, we it for always. It's the way it should be.
Thank you, Lionel.
Oh.
So glad I pulled that out.
Is it we you're looking for? I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry. I wish I could remember.
I wish I could remember. All I can remember is the tune.
There's something about outside your
window. Maybe.
You can see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to just South Park this moment?
No. Maybe. Yes.
Uncle Fucker.
So that will be fun. Next week we may not have a podcast. We will keep you informed.
Okay.
But I'll, you know, Scott and I will hopefully have something regardless. And we will link you / face twit you twat book
twit. Well, and twerk. If not,
I'm trying to get something going that's hopefully going to be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't happen, then maybe Monday. It might be late, but
sure.
Otherwise, yeah, look for a same bat time, same bat channel.
Unless otherwise bat informed.
Breaking Bad.
But
there's a crossover. There's a crossover. I am the knight because I like it. Walter Wayne.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And it sounds like we're ending the podcast, but we're not.
We're really not.
No.
No.
We're just both punchy.
Wait, oh, like it sounds like we're ending it right now?
Because we were talking about...
Oh, right.
You know, oh, well, same bat channel and same, you know...
Oh, right. No.
We're not. No, we're maybe halfway through.
Yeah.
Aren't you lucky?
We have got stuff.
Yeah. Psh. Stuff.
This one is bad. That's not even our. That's not our sign off.
No,
we didn't mention, you know, the guy.
Right.
And if but we it don't just mention sounded the guy, like
we were getting.
If we're not talking about the guy,
then we're not
in a podcast.
That's right.
So we do have a question. Paula Moran asks, "Have you tried the new flavor of the month at Baskin Robbins? It's called Mom's Making Cookies, and it's really tasty. You don't know my mother."
Do we have a Baskin Robbins up here?
I think so.
There's a Bresler's.
We don't have TCBY. No. We definitely don't have Carvel.
No.
Oh, Cookie Puss.
Baskin Robbins, yeah, that's the 31. We have
31 flavors, yeah.
Bresler's was 33.
Those fuckers. That's like that guy on The Price is Right. 801. Fuck you, dick.
Yeah. I have not. It sounds...
No, I don't.
Sounds interesting. It sounds like what they've done is they've mashed up cookie dough pieces with the raw cake batter that seems to be all the craze in the ice cream world. The birthday cake ice cream.
I just got some live information.
Oh, ooh.
Connor Marks is dead to me. Not showing up. Can't come. What a jerk.
He may be shooting.
Nope.
Something.
Dead.
Okay.
Marks? Ooh. You get ready. You get ready for the iron fist of capitalism. Marxism is over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Strong words.
I'm going to proletariat you up. Or something other, I don't know.
Or something, yeah.
I'm Lenin toward not letting you out of here. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just,
You're just Putin it in there.
You're right.
I'm Putin it out there.
I'm just stalling.
Oh God! Took me a minute.
Just kidding, buddy. You're comrade. That makes me.
Okay, I gotta see what the info is.
So Paula, Paula also asks,
"Oh, Aaron,
is anyone else looking forward to the new Super Smash Brothers?" Yeah, I'm not a Smash Brothers guy. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not.
What's a Super Smash Brothers?
It's a big brawl like game with all of the iconic characters and Sonic for some reason. You can play Sonic on a Nintendo game now. Cats and dogs living together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hedgehogs and Smash
Plumbers.
People.
Plumbers.
You can play. So is it like?
Yeah, it's like a fighting game. Not okay. Quite. Not like Street Fighter, but kind of. It's very crazy, kinetic. All over the place. You can play the play and watch guy, the little, like, I don't know if you can in the new one, but you used to be able to play the little LCD stick figure guy from the two screened. Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.
Okay.
That's the scientific term for those.
Mm-hmm.
Bleep, bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yep.
I do. You. Last night I did actually play It's called Luigi Brothers for some reason, but it's the old school Mario Brothers in the sewer, hitting turtles from underneath, kicking them off the. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
Oh man, those games are hard as shit.
Yeah,
I forgot that you can't control jumping really well at all. You have to like hold right and then jump to go to like jump right. You have to hold right then jump. If you jump and then press, it's just like nothing. Because yeah. It's, you know, I mean, it's kind of more like real life.
Mm-hmm.
Jump and then try to go a direction, you're gonna, it's gonna end badly for you.
Yes,
you're I've probably tried. Gonna get a turtle thrown on your head,
or worse,
or worse.
So I hope that answers my end of it, not knowing what the heck that is. But I don't play games anymore, really. Anyway, I wish I did. I really do. I was thinking about that the other day. I don't play my stupid Plants vs. Zombies anymore.
Good thing I gave you that Xbox, huh?
I told you I would take it out of your house so that it wouldn't just gather dust.
Since that's true.
The new
that's
one. True. And technically, it's still yours.
I did leave consoles behind for the PC Master Race. Spiele macht frei.
Well, and Brian Lewis is really mad. Is it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Brian who gave me Fable.
Oh, yeah, I can see them being mad about that.
Really mad that I haven't played the Fable yet. But
well, you're going to play one video game. For sure.
I am. I'm going to play the Kentucky Blue Clay
video game. That is right. You're going to play the Kentucky Blue Clay video game when it comes out.
Hopefully, it's an 8-bit game.
And yeah, 16 with probably.
With a 16-bit controller type.
Yep.
Left, right, up, down. Space bar to jump. That would be awesome.
No jumping. It's an adventure game like Monkey Island.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Click, go to, look at.
Those I can
up,
do.
Pick up,
see,
put down.
That's like my, the thing that I told you that I liked that on the Steam.
King's Quest?
No.
No?
Although I do have that to download. They have it emulated for the PC now.
Oh, nice.
The one I like. That we got Wonder gave me
Torchlight.
And I still haven't. I think I started at one because you were kind enough to gift me a seat or whatever.
Yes, I had a code.
A code, yes.
I gave you a code.
And I think I started with one.
You caught my code.
Because I don't have Falcor.
No.
Which is
Falcor
Wonder's
did
dog.
Not have, or Falcor was not in one.
But I have the dog in one.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know.
Well, because it's like, what, a dog or a panther or something? And like, or a wolf. There's a wolf. There's, I don't know. There's
oh, I have the wolf. Because they do have like the little bulldog guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's, but I was like, he can't carry much.
But two's got that. The ferret. It's got Falcor.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
I'm really and excited to get there.
I just like being able to say, go sell my shit. And this dog does a good job of selling. You know, it's like he gets a
good
decent
prices.
Price.
Yeah.
It's sure as hell worth not walking out of that dungeon.
Yeah. So I can keep smashing things.
Yeah.
And leveling up, and he can come back.
Maybe. Yeah, my favorite dog partner game ever is still. Well, probably still. Is it still? Shit. Now I can't. Moon, is it Moonshadow or Shadow Dancer, right? Shadow Dancer, it's a shinobi game, but you have a wolf that you can go like, because it's got really bad sound, and he goes and he attacks guys, and
I don't know what a shinobi game is.
Well, it's a game about a shinobi.
I don't know what a shinobi is.
You are going the right way for a ninja assassination, my friend. But, you know, it happens to the best of us. Well, should we get to some questions?
Yes. I wanted to mention one other thing.
Oh, mention away.
It.
Good.
For those people who like, this is a long time in coming because this was at PAX 10.
That's a little while ago.
But Boot Snake Games, and I'm not getting anything for this. I actually paid for my Steam key. But they have a puzzle game called Containment, the Zombie Puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool because it's kind of like a top-down, three-quarter view.
Okay.
And you have these different zombies, and it's a puzzle game, so it's kind of like Bejeweled. Mm-hmm. That you have to get the right combination of them to go away.
So like zombie can, crush.
Yeah, kind of like. And
cadaver crush.
It keeps getting, it's really cool, and it's it, you move through the city, mm-hmm. and then you have like police and fire and nurses and all this, so you can surround the zombies and then get them, or I don't know why I brought that up, but that and Torchlight were the only things I had on Steam.
Oh, well, okay.
So, yeah, questions.
Yeah, yeah. There was a sale on Steam last week for Typing of the Dead, which...
I saw that post. I don't know what that means,
though. Okay, so back in 2000, on the Sega Dreamcast.
Yes, your favorite console
ever. My favorite console ever. The Sega Dreamcast had a game, when it released, it had House of the Dead, which sucked because the guns, the light guns, didn't come out for like 2 months after the release of the console, so, and it was unplayable with the fucking controller, but whatever. So skip ahead, 2000, they released this keyboard for web surfing or whatever, and someone says, let's make a typing game out of House of the Dead, too. And so they made Typing of the Dead. And you type to shoot zombies. Now, the 2000 version is exactly the same as House of the Dead. Same boss battles, same everything. When they throw something, it's a single letter. He's like, you know, D, Q, whatever, and it blows up. And then the zombies, based on how hard they are and how many shots, the words get bigger. So, really cool way, you know, to sort of just...
practice typing.
I was going to say... eat Mavis Beacon's guts. But yeah, so a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Typing of the Dead on sale for like $9 on Steam with all of the DLC, and I'm like, I don't know what the DLC is, but what the fuck, let's get it. Not the same game. Same.
Mm.
It's still Sega, but it is now a gritty 70s like exploitation film, a zombie film from the 70s. Every fucking cheesy action cliche you can think of. Within like 30 seconds of starting the game, someone said, I'm gonna rip your balls off to a zombie, which I don't think the zombie cares that much.
No,
I'm gonna rip your motherfucking balls off. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Additionally, they make a lot of references to other zombie movies, like Don't Say That, what the Z word from Shaun of the Dead, of course. Only they would say Zed, but it is what it is. So, crazy game, much harder than Typing of the Dead originally. Slightly updated graphics, but it's still pretty pretty like arcade rail shooter graphically. So even a small, you know, even a little computer can push it, but I guess if you want to learn to type faster, man, and you like zombie games, there you go.
There you go.
$9.
I'm going to go in what I think is reverse order.
Okay,
well, first we'll start with the salutations. Happy Towel Day.
Happy Towel Day. If you look to the side of my bed, you'd know every day is Happy Towel Day. Wait, what do you call it?
I was just going to say.
They're not happy towels?
I'm Towely. Happy Towel Day. It's the Christmas poo.
So obviously Towel Day being the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing, Douglas Adams.
Yeah, obviously.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Obviously.
It is going to feel very much like being drunk. Or quite a lot like being drunk, or, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
You need to read a book, dude.
I do. Dennis Nickel says...
Dennis Nickel?
Eat anything delicious this week, or right now.
Nope. Well, okay, yes. So,
oh, I just want to say something so bad right now, and I'm pretty sure you know exactly what I want to say, but I can't.
No. God damn it. So, my free day is Saturday. Went to Wings again because... now Aaron really likes wings.
Win-win. Yay!
Yeah. Win-win. So that's all I had. Wing Dome. Loved it. 4 stars out of 5. Godzilla.
I tried a raw food restaurant.
And isn't that called a grocery store?
Dish. Well, you'd think so. I'm still not sure if they cook the rice or if they just let it sit in water for a while. But it was... I was really, really worried that I was just going to have, like, this salad-y thing. But it was delicious.
Good.
It was amazing.
Awesome.
And good for me, too, apparently. Outside of that, my Mondo burrito for tonight was delicious.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't really get to do any restauranting
No, maybe. Probably not next week, but the week after, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's do something.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Dennis.
We'll call it good there. Dennis also writes in.
God damn.
Very recently after the first one. In all your travels, what's the most expensive thing you've broken which belonged to someone else? Tell us the tale of how that situation went down.
The most expensive thing we've broken in our travels that belonged to someone else. You already told
someone's
that story.
Of the toilet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't break it, though.
Well, right.
So yeah. You have something that you apparently, I think what he's trying to say is, have you ever broken something of somebody else's? And I do have one.
Why don't you go first? Because I can't think of what is possibly being talked about.
I'm taking this as all my travels since mm-hmm. I've been alive. I had a friend in high school
mm-hmm.
They were fairly wealthy.
Okay.
For Salem, Oregon standards.
Right.
They built a $4 million home.
Okay.
And his dad was self-made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was his first generation money. Very smart man.
His mom must have not really been happy about that.
No, she had fibromyalgia. She was the first person I knew with fibromyalgia.
I was making a joke about being self-made, and you took it to just terrible, horrible.
I
hate you, and you should die.
But that's okay. And so they had, you know, they had a house, beautiful house that comfortably slept 22 people at Black Butte, which is at the base of Mount Bachelor in eastern Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
With four quads and four three-wheelers in the garage.
Yeah, of course.
Indoor racquetball court, you know, the whole nine yards.
Shut up and keep going.
So we would go in and do these fun adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this. I'm pretty sure that I'm safe in saying this to the podcast listening community. But this particular person, if it wouldn't have been for money, would not have had a personality.
Mm.
Now, I learned that much later in life. Which is why we don't speak to each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they had some Sea-Doos. If you're not familiar with that, that's a Bombardier watercraft, which is a one- or two-seater motorcycle-style on-the-water jet ski. So you don't have to stand on it, balance, and all that. Mm-hmm. You just sit on it, little boat. Well, I was coming into shore, and another... What did we say the appropriate term that I could say was? Fuck knuckle. Was coming in on another one and decided to be, hey, I'm going to beat you to the shore. Well, you don't really have brakes in the water.
Right.
So he beaches right in front of me at a 90-degree angle, and I bring this baby gunning in, put a hole right through that motherfucker.
Wow.
Because I was on my course, and he jumped in front of me, and I could not at the time kill it. So I put a big hole in the fiberglass hull. Mm. But dude's dad was really cool, and he was like, hey, you're just having fun. Need to get it cleaned up anyway, so there you go.
Wow.
All that I can think of, because I'm really, really... I break all my own shit.
Yeah, me too.
All the time.
Right.
But I do not break other people's shit if I can help it. That's the most expensive thing.
The closest thing I can think of is my friends, also rich for Spokane standards. They built a $12 house. They went to Australia.
We're just kidding, Laura.
Where are they from?
No, we're not. They went to
it was a very nice house. They went to Australia.
Okay.
Mackay, Australia, which is north of Sydney by quite a bit, but kind of Gold Coast area. Really nice little place.
Mm-hmm.
Tropical. They left me in charge of their home, which was being built, which was it's up on Rim Rock, which is this really amazing like plateau that overlooks sort of the Spokane Falls area.
Oh.
Amazing house. Probably $3 or $4 million as well. Mm-hmm. No indoor racquetball court, but it's because it would be that much because of how much land it's on.
Right.
It was gutted by a fire, so he got it for very cheap, built the house himself. So while they were gone, there is a an exchange school in that area called Mukagawa Fort Wright. And I had a thing for Japanese girls. So I had a party with a bunch of Japanese girls from Mukagawa Fort Wright and a bunch of other people, and essentially just trashed this place. We cleaned it up, but I mean, there was a pool of dry ice and drinks and stuff, and they, you know, so there's water everywhere on plywood, you know, warping it and stuff. So I did a lot of cover-up work, like a ton of cover-up work. It didn't obviously cause a permanent problem. We're still friends and everything. So, but yeah, that's probably the worst thing I've ever done in terms of that.
Yeah. I did not have a party at my house.
Yeah.
Until my 10th year high school reunion.
Yeah.
And then I had 10 people come over and hang out because my parents were gone. And I told them, you know what?
We're having a party.
I'm going to be 27 and I'm having a party. And Dad said, yeah, I think you're
old enough
now.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Paula Moran, yes, that came in before Tom's. Paula Moran says, do you prefer improv, scripted performance, or a script with room for improvisation? Improvisation.
Yep. Improv or improvisation, or script with room. Those are the two good ones.
Yeah, it depends upon what I'm doing. If it's a play,
well,
you know, you pretty much got to stick to the script.
You have a timeline.
I like that. And I'm very giddy that this was another thing that I found out. And I'll break it right now. I may not be coming to any cons this year.
Oh, bum, bum, bum.
But I've been cast in a wonderful play called Middletown by Will Eno. Okay. And the director was Brick in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, which I just recently did. And we'd been talking about the show and my interest in it, and he was like, well, I'm kind of vacillating between...
Say something stupid.
Something stupid.
Come on. Say you're not going to go to cons again.
I'm not going to go to cons this year. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. We need to get a sound bank. That would be awesome.
Oh, I am easily amused. So easily amused. It's only better if it follows yodeling.
Yes, I can see how that would be.
Because fuck that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, we were vacillating between, oh, you're just going to be some supporting characters because I need them, or this other guy. And so I get to be the other guy. And nice. It's like, I went through the script again last night and I was looking at it and going, wow, I get to basically open the show. And it's my favorite kind of thing. It's sort of absurdist. It's like Our Town for today's audience.
Okay.
It's this town is called Middletown. And it's on the site of the last town, Middletown. And the town before that was Middletown. And the town before that was Middletown. But before that, it was Middleton. And before that was Middletown.
And that one sank into the swamp.
And it's just kind of these non sequiturs, really well written. So the cop comes out, which is who I'll be playing, talks to a mechanic who's loitering, beats the ever living shit out of him, sends him off, looks at the audience and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't really know what I was trying to do. I was just trying to make something natural. Anyway, welcome to Middletown. Seriously, welcome." And then I walk off, and that's kind of how the show starts. After a page and a half single sentence. A page and a half.
Right.
With one period. And a whole lot of commas. I mean, Will Eno is just really, it's wonderful language.
Okay.
It's just, it's going to be fun. But anyway, that's going up in August.
Cool.
And so I won't, I don't know where I was. Was it just film time? What was it talking about?
Do you have yourself a Father Flanagan in it?
Huh?
Do you have yourself a Father Flanagan?
No.
That's like Our Town. It's not Our Town.
No, not even close.
Aye, then.
Thursday I saw Fighting Over Beverly, which is the latest Israel Horvitz show.
Oh, nice.
down at Olympia.
Nice.
At the Harlequins, and where I did The Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, and it was wonderful.
Very cool.
And I had some good friends in it. Excellent. And they did really well.
I got myself tickets to Book of Mormon.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I got good tickets to Book of Mormon.
You.
Hey.
You Seventh-day Adventist, you.
Amazon, what can I say? Got them mixed aid.
Is it?
Hmm? No. What?
Is that how you got them?
No, no. I just, they pay me a lot of money.
Oh.
Yeah, insider ticket trading? No.
Well, I didn't know
if
Amazon took over Ticketmaster, you're just like, I'm going in the back end.
Nope, I was camping out. I waited because it went on sale at 10 a.m., like last Tuesday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, click, 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 and I still didn't get front row. But they go quick. I am super excited.
I am too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you some money if they have the soundtrack because I'd like to get it.
Oh, all right. Well, I already have the soundtrack. Oh, do you mean to the show, to this show specifically?
Oh, it won't be to this show.
Oh, well, I've got the soundtrack, dude.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hasadiga Ibawai.
I have the Avenue Q right over here. I like that one, too.
The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
Got a fast connection, so I don't... Oh, we could just keep doing this all day.
For porn.
Let's not do it.
Something about double click.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not a reference to the musical group.
Yeah. Read the next question, Jesus.
Tom Brophy writes in on the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, hold on. We know Seth. We've got him right in front of it. Seth is telling us. Tom Brophy has a question on Twitter, in case you were wondering.
Thank you, Link Master General.
Yeah, we got it.
Please sit back down and do the job that you're paid to do, which is just put links up. Okay? All right. Yeah.
And we will shout out to our Northwest Nerdcast episode, but give us a minute.
He is so demanding for a...
Well, I think he's trying to move into PR for us, which would be great, because...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if he tells two friends, we have, like, four people who know about us.
Exactly. That would be... thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom writes in and says, what are your thoughts on Quentin Tarantino's rant about digital projection being the end of cinema?
Can you hear my eye roll? No? Can you hear my eye roll? I don't... Nobody... fucking cares what Quentin Tarantino has to say. Nobody. Quentin Tarantino went on BET pretending he was black. All right?
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's fucking cringeworthy.
Wow.
Quentin Tarantino was relevant for about 3 years, from 1995 to 1998. Anything he has to say about digital cinema, he can shove up his ass. Because, I'm sorry, the fucking media moves forward.
Yes.
The end. He just liked an elitist world where he had to take out a bunch of loans, but he eventually made it so he could make his films. Now people are making films like his, and they're not going bankrupt, and he somehow feels slighted by that. Too bad. Robert Rodriguez has already fucking proved it, and I don't care how many times you say mission accomplished smugly and walk off set, fucking Sin City is better than anything you've done since fucking Foxy Brown. No. Was it Foxy Brown? No, it was something else Brown. It wasn't even that good. I don't remember the name. All right.
Jackie Brown.
Thank you.
Okay.
You have Pulp Fiction, dude. The end. Reservoir Dogs was great. Pulp Fiction was awesome. You're done.
What's the one Brad Pitt and...
Inglourious Basterds?
No. Earlier, first one that Quentin didn't direct, he wrote...
Oh, okay, that one was pretty good. True Romance. True Romance was pretty good.
Yeah. That was his best writing.
Yeah.
And then it went nowhere, and then, I mean,
but,
you know.
Saying digital projection has killed cinema is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, because everyone's buying digital projectors.
It's just stupid. Anything that gets butts in the seats, be happy about at this point, because they can just fucking download everything they want.
Yeah.
So the fact that people are still going to movies means that they enjoy the art. If you want to go to some shitty projected out of focus, crappy hairs inside of the frame theater, go do it because people will still have it.
Yeah.
And they'll still be watching, you know, Ingmar Bergman films till the end of time.
I'm still waiting. I like taking bets on whether or not the film's going to burn and melt. I saw that at the Admiral in West Seattle.
Good. That's awesome.
I think Trin Miller and I went
to see... Were you watching Gremlins 2? That was a joke.
No. I think we went to see Much Ado. Mm.
the film burned.
Yeah, and the guy was cleaning and yeah, it started fucking give going. Me a hard drive. He's like, "Oh shit!" And he goes running upstairs. Yeah. And, you know, that's potentially
give me a hard drive. That shit was filmed on digital anyway.
Yeah.
So you're actually losing something by transferring it to optical. I'm sorry. That is some pretentious shit.
Yep. I will say I knew nothing about the rant. And I try to stay away from ranty shit these days anyway. I'm trying to be a better person, more holistic, embracing, grace-giving.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck that guy. Fuck that guy in the pee hole.
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe the bear Jew will get out.
Maybe. Maybe I need to calm down again.
Maybe.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Happy Towel Day.
Happy.
Oh, that's right. I was answering Paula's question about improvisation or scripted stuff.
Well, we kind of went into improvisation, so.
We did. But yes, if we're filming or doing something like that, I'm...
On digital.
On digital, blasphemers that we are. I prefer that. When we did Rude Mechanical and stuff. There's some people involved with Rude Mechanical that really wanted scripts. And I for that format, I really didn't.
I don't mind having a script as long as it's in that format. I don't mind having not a script, but an outline. Yeah.
Yeah. Point A to point B is good to have.
If you can't personally do dialogue, though, I can see why you would want scripting. Like if you don't, but there are also people who think they're not good at improv who are actually great at improv.
Yes.
And they keep this thing alive inside them that they're bad at something and they're really not. They're really, really good at it.
They are. And I hope that they are listening right now.
Yeah, me too.
They should know that we're talking about them.
They should absolutely do improv because it's awesome.
Yes.
They don't need a script.
They don't. But I do see why, and it I think part of it is a timeliness.
I can see why, MK. Printing joke. It's a printing joke.
And someone actually got that off the McSterling scenes audio.
Really?
I let it. I said, "Do you see what the joke is?" Because there's four discs inside, and they're cyan, magenta, yellow, and black outlines of RL on the discs.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I printed it that way because I was like, I want to do like an Andy Warhol thing. Oh, look, four, CMYK. Yeah. I'm a nerd about some things, and why does it have to be printing? Why do I have to know anything about printing?
I'm more like an Andy whore whale myself.
How about a whore porpoise?
A horpus?
A horpus.
A dolled up thing?
A hormity.
A prostitute, maybe.
So much better. Yes.
Dolphin of the night.
I'm a harpist or a prostitute. That's good.
I don't even know. Whew. So, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, really?
I think we're done. We're out of questions.
Action Center. Potentially harmful software detected. It's called.
We'll check it out later.
Adobe Audition. Yeah, sure. We're there.
Okay.
Yeah. Are there any just?
There are no hanging out questions. Okay. There's just Geek Pride and Good Morning, Lotta. Lotta's on.
Yay, Lotta! How are you doing? Glad you can make it.
Newer models of Sea-Doos have brakes. That's information we got live.
Who said that?
I'm going to go with Aaron Jackson because it's his name.
Okay. I've yet to find any watercraft that has reliable brakes. It's not like a car.
Yo, dude, wake and break.
However, we've always had a brake. It's called a...
An anchor?
Anchor.
There you go. Okay.
I don't know what it's called. But that's cool if they have like a reverse jet propulsion thing that allows you to stop on those. That would be...
I would assume it's more like a...
You could really do some...
Like a fin thing where it flips out. because
those are
scoops.
Yeah, because if you're going, so it'd just be a drag coefficient.
Yeah, you still want to hit a Horpus with it.
The damage that would do.
Oh my god.
So, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to come on and see a Horpus.
My Sea-Doo has crabs.
Crab nebulas?
Oh! Taking it back. Horseshoe. Crab. Wait, shit. Oh, it's too many nebulas.
Oh, nebulae? And Mike Ott, if you're still listening. I'm sorry for all the drinking. Nebulae? Nebulae? Nebulae. Would be
nebulae,
the plural.
Nebulae.
Just not help me.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're still listening...
You're a bigger fool than the universe is.
Your mistrusted faith in science can't save you from this. Please come on our show.